responsibility of my sisters, Agin and Lehan, and me, to sell the estate's yields of cinnamon bark, etse, and bao spice. This was undertaken by the overseer and his little pack of laborers, under the supervision of father and our brother, Tihe. I recall the procession of carts laden with sacks of bark and bundles of bao and gleaming red heaps of etse pods. Father and Tihe rode up front on well-groomed horses. Each cart was flanked by two laborers on foot at either side of the horses' heads, both a sign of father's status and as protection against thieves. Mother, my sisters and I traveled in a carriage at the back of the caravan, with a green silk baldachin over our heads as protection from the heat. The gold-embroidered fabric let through a pleasant glow of daylight, and we jostled along on the uneven path and talked. It was Lehan's first journey to the spice market, and she was brimming with curiosity and questions. Halfway to the city, Mother produced steamed dumplings of sweet spice pork in soft dough, fresh dates, and chilled water flavored with oranges. When the carriage drove over one of the larger of the path's potholes, Lehan spilled meat juice down her new yellow silk coat and received a scolding from Agin. It was Agin who had embroidered the orange blossoms around the cuffs and neckline. But Mother only looked out over the Okahara fields, now in bloom, and did not involve herself in the girl's quarrel. Suddenly, she turned to me. "I first met your father when the Okahara was in bloom. He gave me a bunch of the white flowers on our second meeting, and I thought that he must be poor. Other young men gave the girls they were courting orchids and precious fabrics, or jewelry of silver and golden stone. He told me that I reminded him of the silky soft petals of an Okahara flower. A shocking thing for a man to say to a maid," Mother chuckled. I bit into a succulent date and smiled. Mother had recounted her first meeting with Father many times. It was one of our favorite stories. They had met by the stream where Mother would often go to fetch water, and which Father happened upon as he rode home from Areco, where he had purchased new farming tools. He was his father's only son and heir, but he did not reveal his name to Mother, nor she her own to him until their third encounter. "He had already captured my heart," Mother continued with a sigh. "I reconciled myself with the idea of binding my life to a man of modest means, and thought that perhaps it would be just as well to marry a poet. But then I got..." The three of us joined in, "both money and poetry." Mother smacked my knee with the cover of our lunch pack. "You disrespectful little cackling hens!" But she smiled, still in a daydream. Perhaps it was the mood she inspired in me that made me notice Iskan as soon as we arrived at the gardens of the Sovereign Prince. At every spice market, the sovereign opened his gardens of unparalleled splendor to the wives and daughters of noble families. The men, their sons and laborers, saw to the arduous physical work of auctioning off their batches of spices in the spice square near the port. Merchants came sailing from far and wide to buy of the renowned spice yields of Karanokoi and paid a high levy to the sovereign for the privilege. Our spices would fetch dizzying prices overseas, and the farther the merchants sailed, the more the spices sold for. They were the source of the land's prosperity and of the sovereign prince's fortune. When we came to Whisperer's Gate, the entrance to the sovereign's gardens, we had to wait for a short while for passengers from other carriages to disembark. Lehan leaned out of the carriage, curious to scrutinize the other women, but Agin pulled her back abruptly.